Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to see the family of God tonight. Amen. Well, I trust that when you pulled in, you noticed something different about the parking lot. We appreciate Springfield striping and ceiling. They did a good job this week, getting us hopefully down the road a couple more years, hopefully. And you got to take care of parking lots, especially ones that are older like ours. And they did a great job. One thing that we do need to change is we do have, I believe it's 7 spots out front for senior parking and 7 spots for visitor parking. And when they labeled them, they labeled them all as visitor parking. So we're going to get them to correct that. But for all of you seniors, we want you to take advantage of that parking. So you can just park in the visitor parking until they get that fixed, okay? Don't feel like you're breaking the rules or something, but we want to take care of our seniors and make it easy for you to park and get into the building. So that'll be updated here shortly. And there is some of the chalk dust that they use to mark out lines and stuff, that's still there until we get a rain, and hopefully it'll be all washed off. So looks very nice, and we appreciate them getting that done in time for us to have church. So they were out here working early this morning. Amen. I trust that you're getting around Springfield okay. If you've had to go from this side of town to the south side of town, it's been fun. And I know, because I have been in traffic more the last couple of days than ever before. And my one route that I thought I had a handle on, a little shortcut, well, everybody else has figured it out. And I think it was yesterday there was an accident on my shortcut and there was a fire truck blocking the whole road. And so anyway, but I believe we've got another 6 days, I think, until August the 20th. And then they'll change something else, and so we'll have a few weeks, and then they'll do the northbound lane. So anyway, I do want to have, before we get started tonight, I want to have special prayer for 3 individuals, and God knows every situation. But first of all, I want to pray for Brother Ed Castile. He is in heart surgery as we speak, and so we want to pray for him, that God would just give him strength and help. And definitely, we've been praying with him, visiting with him this week, but he has peace about it. But we want the Lord to just guide the hands of those surgeons, even right now. And so we're going to pray for him. Then also, I want us to pray for our Brother Bowling. And I don't know, he's just got some health issues. I don't know. He's here. So we're going to pray for him tonight. And some of you may know about some of that, but he's got some health issues, and we need the Lord to work a miracle, and he's believing for a miracle, amen. And so we're gonna encourage him and pray the prayer of faith tonight. And then also I want to pray for Brother Sean Forgy's uncle. His name is Ernie Forgy, and he has been in the hospital some over the last few weeks, and I don't think they've given him a definitive answer what he has, but it's some type of leukemia, they think. And yesterday, in visiting with him, they were going to send him to Barnes in St. Louis today. So he's believing for a miracle as well. And for those of you that don't know him, this is Brother Sean's dad's brother, and he has a long history with Pentecost. And I've heard some wonderful stories back in the day of, a long time ago, they used to play music, old Brother Black, and I don't know, there were some stories he's told. So, however, I want to tell you, in visiting with him in the hospital, I've been 2 times, and it's been one of the most just amazing visits that I've ever had. And the first time, some of the family was there. His son Brandon comes to church from time to time, and we just had a word of prayer, and we cursed the life of any cancer in his body, and we just took authority over it. And I want to tell you, the Holy Ghost moved in that room, and you could feel the power of God. And yesterday when I was visiting with him, it was just he and I, and he was really kind of down, he said, because the doctor had come and just kind of laid it all out there and really not giving him a whole lot of hope. And we prayed the prayer of faith, and God moved. And the Holy Ghost fell again. And I want to tell you, he started speaking in tongues, and just the power of God was all over that place. And he was shaking under the power of God. It was so touching. And I want to tell you, the Lord moved, and we're going to believe for healing for Ernie Forgy as well. Amen. I'm just believing they're going to give him a good report somehow, and he's claiming that as well. God knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And we're going to believe God for three miracles tonight. There may be other needs here tonight, but we're going to call on the Lord especially for these three. And I wonder if you'd stand with me. And I don't want you to pray with doubt. I don't want you to pray with fear. But I want you to pray with boldness. And we're going to stand on the Word of God, the promises of God. Amen. We're going to believe your healing virtue and for God's power to touch these lives tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for Brother Ed Castile. I pray that your hand would be upon that surgery. I pray, God, that you would give those doctors wisdom and favor in what they're trying to do right now, Lord. I pray that you would let your angels move in that operating room in Jesus' name. I pray, God, that you would give him strength, give him a great recovery, Lord. I pray that you would bless his family. Let there be peace. I pray in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray for Brother Bowling right now in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you would continue to work. Lord, I pray that you would finish what you've already started in the name of Jesus. Let it be finished. Let the work be finished in Jesus' name. And God, I thank you for a complete clean bill of health in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. God, I pray for Ernie Forgy right now. In that hospital room at Barnes, I pray, Lord, that you would let there be a visitation from heaven. I pray that your healing virtue would continue to work in his body and his life and his family. We thank you, Lord, for a miracle right now. We claim it by faith. We speak it by faith in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Come on, somebody magnify the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're able. There is nothing that is too hard for you. I bless your name. I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you praise, oh Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for your power. Thank you, Lord, for your encouraging touch. In Jesus' name, we rebuke fear in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for faith. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What a blessing to call on the Lord. What a blessing to call on the Lord. Amen. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 3. I want to tell you, God is doing something great. God is doing something great. And sometimes you may not be aware of all of the visitors and people that are coming, but I do get reports from time to time and list visitors and backsliders and people that the church is touching, and it's amazing what God is doing right now. In the last few weeks, the number of people, backsliders and visitors and connections that are being made, it's just amazing what God is doing. I had a young lady call the church today, and she said, very first thing she said, I'm an alcoholic, and I need help. And she said, I need to get back in church. And I was looking for tonight, but I'm believing she's going to come. But that stuff is happening. It keeps on happening. Things like that. God is working. God is working. Thank God for what he's doing. There's a harvest coming. There's a harvest coming. Praise the Lord. We need to get in the harvest. We need to get to work at the Father's business. There's work to be done. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 3, thou hast multiplied the nation and not increase the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. I just want to take out that middle segment there. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. Tonight I want to preach to us on that subject, the joy of harvest. The joy of harvest. Praise the Lord. God, I thank you for what you're doing. Lord, we don't want to take it for granted. We don't want to just assume that it will always be like that. But God, we know that you are working in a special way here. God, you are opening special doors. Lord, you are putting us in contact with special people that need you and are coming back to truth, and they're desperately crying out for an answer. Lord, we thank you for what you are doing right now. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to work, that there would be a great harvest, and that there would be joy. That there be joy in Jesus' name. We rejoice in the harvest. We rejoice, God, in revival. We rejoice, Lord, in the open doors. We rejoice in your provision. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Much of the Word of God is lost upon our generation because they are not experienced with the lifestyle of farming as those in former generations have been. Now, I realize some of you know a little about farming, but I also realize some of you don't know much about it at all. And I'm caught somewhere in the middle, I think. The Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo, which lasts for several weeks, is the world's largest livestock show, and it is the richest regular season rodeo. Lasts for several weeks, and it's a huge, huge production. Their mission states that they are dedicated to benefiting youth, supporting education, and facilitating better agricultural practices through exhibitions and presentations. And each year, I have been a time or two, each year they have just tremendous interactive exhibits that teach children and young people how farms and ranches work. And many of those children and young people going, they're from the inner city. They're from the city. They don't know anything about a farm. They don't know anything about livestock. And, you know, after all, there's many children today that all they know about where eggs come from and how milk is made is, well, they go into Walmart and they get it off the shelf. And that's all they know. They don't understand, you know, where things come from. And they don't understand the difference in pork and beef and chicken. They just know it's something you eat. But they don't realize they came from different animals. And I've even had some conversations with my own children about that. But it's interesting. Some, you know, there's much that's lost in the Word of God because people don't understand the lifestyle of farming. And there's much to be learned from the process of planting and growing and harvesting a crop. There's much that can be learned about in life from planting and growing and harvesting a crop. One of my first jobs, I was about maybe 8 years old, 7 or 8 years old, and we decided, my dad decided rather, that I needed a job, and so we started farming pickles. Now, for those of you know how that works, you don't farm pickles, you farm cucumbers. But I had a contract. I was an independent contractor for the Vlasic Pickle Company, and so back 20, 30 years ago, if you ate some Vlasic pickles, you very well could have ate some that came from my little farm. And my dad did most of the work, but we did make a little bit of money that year. But it was hard work, and it doesn't just happen overnight. And you got to be faithful, and you've got to work with it, and you've got to show up when you don't want to go out there, and it's hot, and it's not comfortable, and there's much to be learned about life. There's much to be learned about relationships. And definitely much to learn about spiritual things as related to farming. As Jesus would teach the crowds that would gather around him, perhaps he would look over at a field nearby, and he would watch the sower there that was casting out the seed, and he would use that agricultural example to relate to a spiritual principle. Behold, a sower went out to sow the seed. And some fell by the wayside, and the birds ate it up. And some fell on stony ground, and it sprang up immediately, but it didn't have any depth. And some fell in the thorns, and it was choked. But some seed fell on good ground and brought an increase. And he would relate to them how that seed, that they could see that sower sowing the seed, and that seed is the word of God, and the ground is the hearts of people, and what a great illustration. It still applies today. As most of us are not directly involved with farming, we may forget this, but there is soon this year coming a season of harvest. And we'll enjoy that fall season with cooler temperatures, and we'll enjoy pumpkin pie and apple cider. But let's also be reminded of a mindset of a farmer tonight, because he's worked all year long, beginning immediately after the harvest last year, and he was getting ready, and he was preparing his equipment and repairing things and preparing the seed, and he was planning for this year, and then early in the spring he starts plowing that ground, and without that plowing there would only be weeds and thorns, but that ground has to be broken up in order to receive the seed. And it's hard work, but it's necessary work. And then when the ground has been prepared, that seed is planted and it's watered and it's fertilized. And then the farmer waits. He waits and he looks after those tender young plants, and he makes sure the weeds don't prevent their growth. And he makes sure there's enough water, and he prays for enough sun, and he fertilizes just the right amount, and he prepares by faith for the harvest that's going to come. He repairs his equipment. He gets ready because he knows the harvest is coming. He's looking forward to that day that he's going to reap that harvest. In previous generations, much of life was tied to harvest time. The whole next year was impacted by the success of the harvest. If it was good, that meant there would be plenty that next year. If the harvest was poor, it signified a struggle in the year to come. Neighbors and whole towns would work together to bring in the harvest because there was so much work to do in such a little time. During the time of harvest, there was not much sleep. There was no time off because it was absolutely necessary to get the harvest in. I want to tell you, there's much joy that goes along with the harvest. When it's completed, there's a satisfaction that comes to the farmer. He's done a job well done. All year long, preparing for those hours, those long days and weeks of harvest. And what satisfaction when the farmer can go and he can look at the harvest that's in the barn or in the silo, and he can see the fruit of his labor. And any person who works hard has a right to rejoice in the fruit of it. So that's where harvest parties and celebrations would come in. And many of our festivals today, they have roots in the various harvests that come throughout the year. A time when that hard work has been completed and the fruit has been gathered and the effort has been made. And now there's rejoicing over what has been done. There's a celebration marking the end of the season of harvest. I want to remind us here tonight, I feel this so strongly, that there will be a harvest in the lives of every one of us here. There will be a harvest. There will be a type of harvest. It depends on what we sow. Galatians 6 and 7 tells us, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." We need to be careful what kind of seed we're sowing. Come on, we've got to be careful what kind of seed we're putting in the ground, because harvest time is on the way. And if we're just sowing seeds to the flesh, then we're going to reap corruption. Oh, but if we've been sowing seeds to the Spirit, we're going to reap life everlasting. Come on, we got to be careful what kind of seed are we putting in the ground. Hallelujah. There are those who talk of sowing their wild oats. time of chasing after sinful desires and pleasures of the world. But, oh, I tell you, wild oats would be better if they were never sown, because they bring a terrible harvest. Those who seek to sow them think that they're going to reap the pleasure from it. And perhaps there's some momentary fleshly pleasure, but it's only for a short time, and then the bill comes due. Come on, it costs something. Wild oats produced a harvest of problems and consequences and things that damage and things that hurt. And sometimes the rest of someone's life is affected by it. I want to tell you, many times it causes them to never again be free totally from sin, because they're always bound by the things of the world, the seeds or the harvest of what they sowed in their wild oats. For someone to be enjoying the joys of harvest, they got to be sowing good seed. A man that plants thorns, he can't expect to reap wheat. Someone who's just following their flesh in life can't expect to reap the blessings of the Spirit. And at the end of the time, they'll have no one to blame but themselves when they receive the fruit of their labor. If they've only sowed to the flesh, they'll reap the punishment of their evil deeds. But on the other hand, the Bible talks about those who sow in tears, they shall reap in joy. If you sow in tears, you shall reap in joy. There's going to be those who have sown to the things of the Spirit, and they're going to enter into the joy of the Lord. Come on, they're going to hear that wonderful saying, that most wonderful saying that we could ever hear. Oh, well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. I tell you, there's a joy in the harvest. There's a reward of our work. Let it be with joy that we serve the Lord. Let it be with joy that we live for Him. Let it be with joy that we plant the seed, knowing there's a harvest coming. See, the joy of harvest is the joy of expectation. Expectation. Can anyone feel a little expectation about what God's doing around here? Hallelujah. A little expectation. I want to tell you, there's something that's been building. There's a rising level of expectation. Momentum has been building, and faith is increasing, and God is doing great things. Expectation, that's a joyful thing. That's a joyful thing. Just like the farmer who walks there among the rows of corn, and he sees those little ears of corn developing, and just as he waits for the day that they're ready to harvest, it's the same for the faithful saints of God. God is bringing forth things together in our life, and it takes time for those things to mature and come together. And we've been through the various seasons. There's been a rainy season, perhaps, or a dry season, but we're still waiting in expectation because we feel like something good is on its way. Come on, that expectation brings joy. It's exciting. It's promising. It's great to be a part of something that's larger than we are. Come on, and when we're at work in God's kingdom, I tell you, this thing is bigger than what we could ever even imagine, and we get to play a little part in God's great big plan. And when we see that plan starting to come together, and we've wondered how He's going to do it, and we've been believing for revival, and we've been looking for it and praying for it, and when we see it start happening here and there around us, there's a joy that comes in expectation. What an exciting time to be part of the church. Don't you give up now. Don't you stop praying now. Don't you stop believing now. Don't you stop expecting now. But you expect it all the more because God is bringing things together. He's starting to bring it to pass. The promises that He's given. Don't you turn back now, because what you've been waiting for, God is pulling it all together. I tell you, there is going to be a fulfillment of His promises. Oh, there's joy in the expectation of what God is doing. And beyond what He's doing right now and in the very near future, we have a blessed hope that we will be ever with the Lord. And that all of our labor and all of our sorrow and every trial, every circumstance, every battle, every struggle, it's all going to be worth it all in the end. I tell you, there's joy of expectation. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I wonder if we can just celebrate just for a moment and just thank God for the things we're starting to see happen. God, I thank you for people that are being moved upon by your Spirit. I thank you for backsliders that are coming back. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, for your power that's working. I thank you, Lord, God, for new people that are hungry for the gospel. I thank you for Bible studies that are being taught. I thank you for open doors, Lord. I thank you for witnessing that's going on all around this city. I thank you, Lord, for services where your power is moving and lives are being touched. I thank you for those prayer meetings in the hospital, Lord, where you are working and you are moving, God. Oh, Lord, it's so exciting to be a part of this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Part of the joy of the harvest is joy in the favor of God. We are totally, totally dependent on God. Much more than we think about each day. Everything in our world, it revolves around God. What a tragedy that this generation thinks so little about that. I want to tell you, everything we have comes from Him. That sun breaking over the horizon in the morning, it doesn't just happen, but it's the favor of God. Thank God for His favor. Amen. That roof over our heads, it's the favor of God. The food that we eat, it's the favor of God. Amen. The joy that He's given us, the blessings of friends and family, the favor of God. A church family that we can love and be a part of and worship with, it's the favor of God. Come on. The favor of God rests upon you. The favor of God goes with you. I believe there's protection. I believe there's blessings. I believe God puts us in the right place at the right time. It's the favor of God. Hallelujah. Come on, we need to realize we're walking in the favor of God. I'm not just walking according to my own steps, but I need to get in the Spirit and say, Lord, direct me according to your favor so I can be in the right place at the right time to receive the miracle, to share the gospel with someone. Lord, I need your favor to be upon me. The Bible is full of songs of thanksgiving, talking about the goodness of God and His favor in their lives. And I tell you, we must not pass through this season of harvest, reaping the blessings of the Lord without having joy in the favor that God has bestowed upon us. The same God who made manna drop from heaven for the Israelites, today He gives us favor in the blessings and the provision in the food that we get to eat. And I tell you, what a blessing to go in a grocery store that's full. It's the favor of God. God has been great to us. And spiritually, oh, come on, somebody, there's favor. The favor of God has been poured out in our lives, and there is a spiritual harvest that is coming. There is a great reaping. It's not because we're so special in ourselves, but it's God's favor. Come on, I'm telling you this. I know this is recorded, and there may be others listening to, but I want to tell you, harvest, God's favor is upon you. Harvest, God's favor is upon this church. Hallelujah. There's something special here. There's something special here. Come on, you may not realize it until sometimes you travel and you see other churches, but there's something special here. The favor of God. There's a freedom and a liberty in the Spirit that you don't get just everywhere, but there's an anointing that falls. There is like a portal from heaven. Come on, I'm telling you, I've been there. I know there is something special about this church. And I'm thankful for it. Come on, it's not because we're so great, but it's the favor of God. It's the blessings of God. Let's not take it for granted, but thank God. Come on, there's joy in the favor of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God. Amen, amen. And to every Christian, it ought to be a joyful thing to be reminded of God's faithfulness. The Lord has promised a harvest. When we see a heavy trailer pulling a load of fruit or vegetables or grain, that's a reminder that God is faithful. He's true to His promises. It might have been a long and dreadful winter. It might have been a dreary spring. It might have been a hot summer. But autumn has come. And God's blessings and His promises come true. Paul wrote that all the promises of God are in Him, yea and amen. In other words, if you study that out, all the promises of God find their yes in Jesus Christ. God is faithful to keep His promises. And so as we are about to enter the season of harvest in the natural world, let every crop, let every pumpkin patch, let every corn maze, let it be a reminder, God is faithful. God is faithful. The farmer sows the seed expecting that God's going to do His part. God is always faithful. God is always faithful. And harvest, I want to tell you, in the season of harvest that God is bringing spiritually, let it be a reminder to us that God is faithful to His promises. The promises of God have come to this church year after year after year. And some of you have been clinging to those promises for much of your life. There's some that you've come just lately and you've heard about them. But I tell you, it's a season of harvest. And God is going to bring His promises to pass. It's a reminder God is faithful. We can stand upon His promises. We can count on His word. He is faithful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There's joy in God's faithfulness. After Nathan the prophet confronted David in his sin, David wrote the words in Psalm 51 and 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of Thy salvation, and uphold me with Thy free spirit. I want to tell you, there's joy in the salvation of the Lord. There's joy. It takes time. It takes time. Hopefully we still remember. Maybe we were very young. Maybe you were older when you got in the church. But hopefully remember back when our heart was hard. Back when we were bound by sin. Back when our heart and the soil of our life was covered over with weeds and thorns. And when there was nothing there that even resembled fruit. But then there was a certain day that God began to work. And God sent someone with His word. And the word of God began to plow our soul. Oh, the breaking of that earth, it hurts at first. It's not comfortable, and the plow is sharp, and it went deep into our heart. After all, Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the word of God began working on us. It was uncomfortable. It started changing us. It made us uncomfortable where we were, but it prepared us for the gospel. Oh, I want to tell you, and after plowing came the sowing. And somebody, we realized we needed to be saved, and somebody gave us the gospel, the good news, and the seed of the gospel fell into an open heart, and it was received, and it started to grow. Come on, can anybody remember when God started to work and you had a little hope? Oh, your life had just been broken and there was nothing worth showing in your past. But all of a sudden, God started working and there was a little hope that, you know what, maybe God can do something with me. And maybe God can turn things around and all that trouble and defeat in my past. But now I feel new and now there's something happening. And It's kind of like when you plant the seed out in the field and you go out in a couple of days and there's a little bitty blade coming up through the dirt, and you don't know if it's grass or if it's corn, but it's exciting. Oh, there's a little hope that that little blade is going to grow up into a mighty stalk of corn that's taller. We went driving last week, saw some corn that was way taller than we are. And when you see that break through the ground, there's a little hope that, oh, there's going to be a harvest. Hallelujah. Do you remember the first time you had a little hope that God was going to make something of your life? What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is. There's joy in salvation. There's joy in the salvation power of God. No doubt we went through a little time where there was some things that threatened to destroy us. Maybe it was a little frost that came. Maybe a drought. Maybe insects came and tried to get into our heart. Maybe a flood threatened to wash away our root system. But somehow God kept us. And we kept growing. And oh, what a joy there is when we see our life starting to produce fruit because of the blessings of God in our life. I want to tell you, there's something about the joy of salvation. It's hard to keep quiet about it. When you truly have the joy of salvation, it's hard to keep it to yourself. When the harvest was great, they wouldn't keep it to themselves. They'd have a celebration. They'd have a feast. They'd invite their friends. They'd invite their neighbors, and they'd celebrate together. And those who find the true joy of salvation, they express that joy by telling their friends and telling their family and everybody they meet all of the great things that God has done for them. I tell you, it's hard to be truly transformed by the power of God and keep quiet about it. That's why new converts make the best soul winners. Because they don't know, all they know is what they used to be and what they are now. And they can't explain it all, but they're so excited. And they go tell everybody, hey, you got to come to church with me. You've got to feel what I feel. You've got to receive the Holy Ghost like I've received the Holy Ghost. They're so excited, they spread the joy of salvation. Come on, if God has poured out His power in your life and the gospel has changed you, don't you dare hold it back, but you tell everybody far and wide. You declare how good God is, that there's a Savior, that you can find hope, that His blood can wash away your sins. You tell about that joy of salvation everywhere you can, because there's people that need it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What joy there is in answered prayers. I hope we all know what it is to pray in faith. Our prayers need to be mixed with faith. Don't pray expecting nothing to happen, but pray believing you're going to receive what you're praying for. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Pray in faith. Pray specifically, and believe that God will answer. The farmer sows the seed in faith. He's in partnership with God. See, all the farmer can do is prepare the ground and sow the seed. And then he's got to trust God for rain, for sunshine, the right weather. But oh, there's joy when God provides. And I tell you, there's a joy that comes when we have a true need and we take it to the Lord in prayer and we mix faith in with our prayer. And sometimes it's right away and sometimes we have to wait a little while. But when the answer comes, I tell you, there's a joy in knowing it had to be God that brought it about. There's a joy in knowing that what we prayed in faith, God answered our prayer. I feel tonight some of you have been praying a long, long time. You've been believing God for years about some things. You've been praying with faith. You've been believing God. I tell you, don't you dare stop praying now, because you're about to see the harvest. I tell you, it's coming, and it's coming with joy. The answer is coming. The healing is coming. The victory is coming. Come on, the backsliders are coming. Oh, the souls are coming. You keep on praying. You keep on believing, because you're going to experience the joy of having answered prayers. What a joy it is to pray a prayer and know that God came through for you when there was no other way, when there was no other help, there was no other answer, but God came through. There's a joy in answered prayers. That doesn't mean there's not trials along the way. Come on, someone. You may be in a trial right now. Sometimes a dark cloud comes. A storm threatens. We still have to battle things. Just because we're in the church doesn't mean we get to hang up our six guns, hang up our sword. I remember some of those Western books. That old cowboy became a Christian. He put his guns up. This is not in my notes. Forgive me. Louis L'Amour, well, I don't know so much Louis L'Amour, but some of those others, he put his guns up in the drawer, and then there'd come a bad guy into town. And he'd do his best to just ignore him, but there came, he had to pull the guns out, and he'd had to go win the battle. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you don't have to fight some things. But we're not fighting flesh and blood. Okay, remember that. But we're fighting spirits. We're fighting spiritual things. We have to battle temptation. We still have to battle temptation. Even Jesus was faced with temptation. But we can overcome. Oh, the devil paints a beautiful picture of sin. He's good at it. How many who have known the grace and the blessings of God have seen hell's advertisement, and they've sold out only to reap the pleasures of sin for a season? The devil is good at what he does. He makes it look so appealing, so enticing, so enchanting. Maybe he's trapped you before. Maybe he's got you before. Maybe he's doing his best right now. But I tell you, if you'll keep on walking, if you've fallen, if you'll get back up again, and if you'll keep on walking, soon enough you're going to come through that valley of the shadow of death. And when you come back out from that cloud of temptation, and when you come through that, and when you step back out into the sunlight, you're going to feel great joy, and you're going to be stronger than you were before. For that battle that you just came through, and you're going to gain experience. And don't you worry, because I know you're struggling right now, but you're going to rejoice again. Not in yourself, but in the power of God that has brought you through. Because with joy, you're going to know he brought you through temptation. He brought you through the storm. He brought you through those dark days. Oh, there's a joy of harvest. Hallelujah. And I tell you, it's a joy being a part of the kingdom of God. What better purpose for our life? What better existence could we have? What better life could we live? This is our purpose. This is our purpose. God didn't create you to be an executive with the company. He didn't create you to be the owner of a mechanic store, shop. God didn't create you to be in physical therapy. He didn't create you to be in the financial district, and on and on and on. Yes, that's what we do, but God created you to work in his kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I believe the passion of every Christian somewhere inside of us, that I believe there's a longing in every one of us to be useful in the kingdom of God.
amen, to do something that's going to impact eternity, something that's going to make an eternal difference. I tell you, there's a joy to be a part of the kingdom of God. It takes time to see the fruit of our labor. It might be weeks or months, even years before the results come, but you keep working in the kingdom and God's going to bring a harvest. Come on, a preacher might preach for a service or two or three, and there might not be a breakthrough, but he needs to keep on preaching. Hallelujah. A soul winner might strike out three or four or five or six or 10 times, but don't quit witnessing. It could be the 11th person is the answer. Come on. They could become a pillar in the church. And if you would have stopped at four or five or six or nine or 10, you would have missed out on number 11. Maybe you taught a Bible study before, and in the middle of that Bible study, all of a sudden your brain just stopped working and you got all the scriptures mixed up and you couldn't even find Genesis and Exodus and Revelation, and you felt so silly. Don't you give up, because even through our shortcomings, God can move. Hallelujah. He's just looking for a willing vessel. He's looking for someone that's able to say, God, I'm going to be some good ground and I want to produce a harvest. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you, there's joy in the fellowship with the Lord and with His people. When my cousin Joel McCoy preached for us, he told some of those stories about the watermelon field. Anybody remember that? Oh, they were some stories, I tell you. I was there, and I don't even remember some of those stories like he told them, but... See, my dad and my uncle, and they'd grown up in East Texas, where as young men, they'd learned to work in the watermelon fields of East Texas and picking and hauling watermelons. And so my uncle had this desire for his boys to have some of those experiences, and he got with my father-in-law, who was going to be here tonight but didn't make it, and used some of his land. And so my uncle and my father-in-law went into the watermelon business together. Well, they were the CEOs, and the rest of us were the workers. And so for part of that time, it was before I was married, I would preach different churches on the weekends, and I'd come home during the week, and I'd work for my uncle, whether it was something to do with the church or maybe it was in the watermelon field. And you want to talk about hot? You don't know hot until you're in southeast Texas in the middle of summertime and the humidity is about 120%. And, at least about 90-something. I want to tell you what those mosquitoes, some of the biggest ones you've ever seen. Ooh, just, it's like blankets of them would come in. And come out of the marsh, and oh my goodness, I don't ever want to go back there. My father-in-law lost several dogs. Either the mosquitoes carried them off, or maybe it was the alligators. I don't know, but it was rough. And here's the thing about watermelons. You see, rats love watermelons, especially the ones that would go bad and would get rotten out. The rats love that. And you know what loves the rats? Snakes. Snakes. And I'm not talking about little grass snakes and black snakes and chicken snakes and all. We're talking about big old water moccasins and, oh. I can remember one time we were leaving for the next day for NAYC or something like that, and the watermelons hadn't been picked. And if you left them for a couple days, you'd lose. You'd lose whatever was ripe. And so here we go about 10 p.m. at night out there to the watermelon field. And we're stumbling around out there with flashlights trying to find the ripe ones. And I everywhere I go, I was stomping like this because I wanted those snakes to know I was coming. Memories. Memories. I want to tell you what. There's a special knack to loading watermelons on a trailer. You don't just toss them all on there and let them roll around. You stack those things from side to side, tight. And you stack the next row and the next row, and you stack that whole layer of where they're tight and they can't move. And then you put another layer on top, and you offset them. And you can go maybe three or four layers sometimes and make it so that trailer's loaded down and you can go over a bump and not lose them all. And when you're picking watermelons, you don't pick one up in the middle of the field and go walk over to the trailer and put it down and then go back. That takes too much time, and you might step on some of the other plants, so you form a chain in the field. And the one guy picks them up, he tosses it to the next guy. The next guy catches it, turns around, tosses it to the next guy, until finally you put it in the trailer. And now, the interesting thing is that every once in a while, whether it was by accident or on purpose, somebody would drop one of those watermelons. And it seemed to happen a lot more on the really hot days. But when that watermelon falls and breaks open, you don't want to let it go to waste. And so you'd have to take a little break and enjoy the fruit of your labor. And I can honestly say that down there in the watermelon field, with the heat and humidity, with the mosquitoes and the snakes, working to keep the weeds out of the field and planting and fertilizing and waiting and hoping for a harvest, those were some of the best times. Not because of all that trouble you had to go through, but because of the time spent together working in the field.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The fellowship made it memorable. And I want to tell you about a joy of harvest that is so wonderfully great. It's the fellowship we have with one another and with the Lord. There's nothing like the family of God. Hallelujah. There's nothing like brothers and sisters that we're in this thing together. Come on, if the only time we ever talk is once or twice a week when we come to church, there really needs to be a greater relationship than that. Come on, there needs to be several in the church that you connect with throughout the week, whether it's through a small group or through some type of outreach, or maybe you're just calling somebody to encourage them. But this is our family, folks. And I want to tell you, it's a wonderful thing working together in the kingdom of God because of the fellowship we have with one another and with the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you, we are having an eternal impact. Sometimes it seems like we're not making a difference, but I want you to know, in the kingdom of God, you are making an eternal difference. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we're working together with one another, but I want to encourage you that also God is working with us. Jesus, in Mark chapter, before or after he ascended into heaven, Mark 16 and verse 20 says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. That's what we get to do. We need to go forth and preach the word everywhere. And we're not going to be doing it all by ourselves, but I believe God is going to still do the same thing. The Lord is going to work with us, and he's going to confirm the word with signs following. Oh, thank God for fellowship in the church. Praise the Lord. There's something about it when you're working in the field with a brother. When you're working in the field with a sister and you're there together and you're carrying the load together and you're enduring together and you're breaking through some things together. Hallelujah. There's a joy in the harvest, working with the Lord, being with this in his presence and working with one another. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Some of the closest friends we have ought to be in the church. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank God for his family. Would you stand with me tonight? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Who is it that's going to have the most joy at harvest time? It's those who've been most involved in it. Those who never make a prayer meeting, they're not going to have the most joy when a blessing comes. Those who never reached a soul and never taught a Bible study, they're not going to have the most joy when the church grows. Those who haven't given, they haven't invested in the kingdom, they have no skin in the game. They won't have the most joy. But you take someone that knows what it's like to have a burden for a lost soul. They know what it's like to weep over a family that doesn't know God. Oh, come on. And someone who has been faithful when times are tough. Someone who's seen a few mountaintops and they've been through a few valleys and they fought some battles and they faced temptations and fears and trouble, and yet they're still here. You want to talk about the joy of harvest? Oh, that's who's going to experience it. That's who's going to experience it. If you don't have a share in the sowing, if you don't have a share in the labor, then I want to tell you the joy that comes. You're not gonna fully understand that. But when you've been part of the process and you've been expecting for a long time and you've seen God be faithful and you've seen the joy of salvation and oh, what a joy to see somebody filled with the Holy Ghost and you've seen prayers answered and you've overcome some things along the way, and when you've been working together in the kingdom, I want to tell you there's a joy that comes when it's harvest time. Oh, there's a celebration coming. There's a party on the way, and harvest time is about here, and it's time to get ready. It's time to prepare for what God is about to do. Come on. I've got to close, but I'm preaching faith right now. Somebody needs to have faith. It's about to happen. It's about to happen. Harvest time is here. God is bringing in the sheaves. God is bringing in souls. There are people being transformed. This is what we've been expecting. This is what we've been praying for. We're entering into a season of harvest. It's the joy of harvest. And this church is going to experience it. We need to get our hearts ready. We need to be looking with expectation. We need to do what God's called us to do, because the joy of harvest is coming. Praise the Lord. Would you connect with somebody right now and just believe with them? God, we're believing for souls. We're believing for these lost loved ones represented here tonight. Oh, God. Lord, I'm believing that you're going to use me somehow, some way, in this time of harvest. Oh, God, that we can reap with joy. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I pray that you'd restore, God. I pray that you'd restore, Lord, what the locust has eaten. I pray that you'd restore, God, what the enemy has tried to destroy. And I pray that you let there be a rejoicing in the harvest. I pray that you let there be a joy in our hearts. Let there be a joy of salvation. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, for what you